at the end of it in 1 Corinthians 11:26, which simply says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." You've heard this passage before? I say it every month almost, I think. Our task is to proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Our task is the gospel itself. Jesus Christ, his sacrificial atoning death and resurrection. So we proclaim it. When are we finished? We're to continue, Jesus said, until he comes. Until he comes. Our task is not finished yet because Jesus has not come. And we're to continue with this unfinished task until he comes. When does he come? Anytime. Anytime. We've mentioned this in this church many times, but there's an event in history, or not in history, but in our chronology that is to come next. And that event is called the rapture of the church. Have you heard of the rapture of the church? Jesus, when he left, when he rose again from the grave and he was taken up into heaven, the angel said this same Jesus will come in like manner that you have seen him go into heaven. And other passages of Scripture refer to this event, this rapturing, this snatching away of the church. And that event is going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive, this generation of believers who are alive, will be changed in a moment, and we will meet him in the air. We will be taken up to be with him. This generation of believers who are at the rapture will not see death. What a wonderful thing. But that is that moment that we are looking for. And it can happen at any time. And so we must be ready. But our task is unfinished because that moment has not taken place yet. So in our text today is Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to see how Jesus went about this task. And ask God to give us the same heart and the same compassion for the world that Jesus had when he was here. So take a look with me at Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9, verse number 35. "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would give us hearts that are willing to listen and open our minds to your truth today. Let us see those fields that you spoke of, and let us be willing to step up and say, "Lord, send us. We are the laborers." I pray that we would see this task unfinished in Jesus' name. Amen. Now at this time, we have with us some laborers in a field. And we all know our Robert and Ruth. They're here with us still, or once again, this morning. And we've asked them to share with us a brief on what's going on the field where they are. So would you please listen, and let's welcome Robert and Ruth once again to the IBC platform, IBC stage. Thank you.
Hello.
Hello.
Is it on?
I am on. Yes. I'm Robert.
I'm Ruth.
And the Lord, in his great grace to us, has given us a ministry in China. And
okay. Well,
The Lord has given us a ministry in China, in south central China, in a city called Changsha. And we are teachers at a primary school teacher training university. It's a very little university compared to many in China. It's only got about 14,000 students. But it is a little bit famous because, as you might be able to see on the screen, it's the university where Chairman Mao Zedong was a student and a teacher for 4 years. 8 years, sorry, together. But before we start talking about that, we'd like to say, next slide, please. A big thank you. A big thank you to you, because without your support, without your encouragement, without your love, without your smiles? We really couldn't be there and be able to do the work that God has given us to do there. So that keeps us there. Thank you very much.
One of the biggest highlights in our last year, you will see on the slide in a minute. Can you recognize some of those people? Look who came to see us. Pastor Ken and Jojo. And yeah, you can understand why that was such a highlight for us. We were really impressed by the way they interacted with our staff and our students. We even saw Pastor Ken on his knees. Can you see him right in the middle of everybody? On his knees. How often have you seen him on his knees? Oh. But we really appreciated the great fellowship we had with them, prayer times, and also the fun. Amen. Please come again.
Amen. Thank you.
So our role at our university is to be teachers. We mainly teach Western culture, but also a little bit of English. And so whenever we teach, we are aiming to be sowing gospel seeds. And so many of our students know so very little about Jesus. The task is unfinished. And so whenever we teach, we try to include God moments, moments that will raise the consciousness of our students and the teachers that we're with about who God is and what he has done in Christ. Each semester, we teach about 7,000 students. So we're able to sow these gospel seeds widely.
Next slide. And this leads to deepening relationships. As we get to know some of these students better, particularly in our smaller classes, we often meet with them in cafes or in restaurants or even in our apartment and grow the relationships together. Because now, after being in our school, our university, for 2 years, trust has been built with a number of people. And yeah, we can really talk at a deeper level. I just want to talk about one person to give you an example. In the slide on the far right, there's a young lady standing with me, and she's just graduated in June this year, so she was a senior student. Unbeknown to us, our school has a summer program in the US where they send a few students every year for 3 months. To get some overseas experience. Anyway, evidently this girl Wendy had been on that program, and she turned up at our apartment at one of our staff dinners because she was doing a 3-month internship as a staff member as part of her fourth year. And yes, it turns out that she became a Christian during her 3 months in the US. But when she came back to China, she had no idea how to connect with Christians or churches. She felt totally lost. And then she turned up at our apartment out of the blue and said, "I'm a Christian. Finally, I've found my family." Because she'd somehow found out that we were Christians. Actually, it was because we said grace before the meal. She realized we were Christians.
Amen.
Yeah, and so after that, Wendy and I have been meeting almost every week for the last 6 months doing a New Believers Discipleship Bible study. And now she has just moved to another province to become a primary teacher. So please pray for her. She sent me a message 3 days ago saying, I want to meet some people who love God and who know the Bible. And she also needs an evangelical church to attend regularly. So please pray for her.
Next slide, please. So why do we do this? Well, it's estimated that in our province, 82% of people will be born, will live their lives, and die without hearing the gospel. The task is unfinished. And so this places a real, real burden on our hearts.
Amen.
In April this year, we were able to, thank you for the next slide, we were able to return to the other city we used to live in called Chengdu. And we love that city as well. We love people there and follow up some of the contacts we'd made there in the past. But one of our favourite places is the very famous Panda Park in Chengdu that many Chinese tourists and many overseas tourists come to this place. But just inside the front entrance is this absolutely beautiful signboard. You probably can't read what it says on it. Can anyone read it? But it's got the words of an old song that some of you may know. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful.
They left it off.
Oh dear. Unbelievable. They've missed off the most important line of all. Do you know what's missing?
The Lord God made them all.
The Lord God made them all. And this is kind of a picture of what we see in China. Our Father, God, is so often left out of the equation. And so there are many people there that are hungry for God, longing to know about Him. The task is unfinished.
So please pray. Next slide, please. Just 4 things here. If you can remember one of them or half of one of them, that would be great. Please pray for us. Please pray that God will transform lives. Our lives, first of all, but also the lives of our university leaders, co-teachers, staff, students, the foreign teachers that we work with as well. Please pray that God will open doors of opportunity that no person can shut. Please pray for protection from evil. And then lastly, please pray for our family, especially our son Caleb at this time. Caleb has gone through a bit of a crisis over these last 3 weeks, and we're in the process, ongoing, of trying to resolve some of these things. And we are due to return to China on Monday, the 12th of September. So please pray with us that God would particularly provide for Caleb at this time.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Robert and Ruth. And it was indeed a highlight of my year, too, to go and see them. And I don't know about JoJo, because that's where JoJo messed up his back and spent 4 days laying down in an apartment. But I had a good time. Poor JoJo. Like, do you want to go back, brother?
Yes.
Would you? He's all for it. Okay. But it was so neat to see what's going on over there with Robert and Ruth and the work they're doing. I was just pleasantly impressed and surprised to see what God is doing with them. Everywhere they go, they're sharing the Lord in one way or another. Everywhere they go, they're sowing the seed. And it was just a fantastic ministry opportunity. But let's continue now to take a look at Jesus when he was here, in the ministry that he had and how he went about it. We just read from Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. The first thing we see about Jesus is that he went to the people. We saw that in verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages. So the first thing we see is that it is Jesus who initiated it. Salvation would be totally different if Jesus just waited for the people to come to him. But we see Christ took that first step and he went to the people so that his ministry could occur. He took the initiative to enter into their setting. He intentionally entered into their lives.
We see that he went to weddings and he met with the people. He ate with the people. He worked with them on the fishing boats. I'm sure that he laughed at them when one of them told a funny, interesting story. We see that he cried with them when he heard one of them died. He was willing to go out beyond his comfort zone. He was willing to go to places where not everybody was agreeing with him. In fact, some didn't like what he was saying. Sometimes being with the sick and the diseased people that others just wouldn't go near. But we see Jesus entered into their lives and he became part of them and he shared with them. He went to them all sorts of ways, we see. There are three separate words in Matthew 9 here that are used. Three separate words: teaching, preaching, and healing. In some situations, Jesus was able to sit down and have a Bible study and show them, reveal to them what the scriptures are meaning. Other times, he was allowed to preach in their own synagogues, and they wanted to hear what he had to say, and so he would get up and proclaim the word of God to them and say, "This is what it means." Other times, it was a practical touch of healing that he would give to somebody. Not much was said, but he would reach out and help them in a very real way. My friends, as we consider the work of Jesus and his ministry, we need to consider the same. We need to be willing to invest our lives in other people at times. Invest our lives, be with them. Love them. Love the people. Be willing to share Christ in whatever ways that we're able to at any given time. But love the people. Next, we see that he saw the multitudes. So first he went to the people, but then we see he saw the multitudes. Look again at verse 36. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Have you ever noticed there's a difference, for example, between hearing and listening? You know what I mean. Hearing and listening. Us men are good at this sometimes. We come home from work and we're tired and we've been thinking all day. We've had a lot on our minds and we sit down. We want to have a drink of something and we want to just relax. And after a little while, we suddenly hear this noise going on in the background. We're not really tuned into what it is until finally we look up and our wife is looking at us and says, "Are you listening to what I'm saying to you?" And we're like, "What was going on?" We were hearing something, weren't we? But we weren't listening. And there's a difference. The same way, though, is with our sight. Sometimes we can see things, but we don't see who they actually are. We can see people, but we don't see who they are. We don't really see them, not in the way that Christ did. We see Christ, Jesus. He saw them individually. Even when he was gathered with a bunch of people, Jesus saw individuals. He saw individuals. He looked at every single soul that was there, and he had compassion on them. I wonder what Jesus was thinking when he saw the people. He would look at a little boy and say, "This..." And he'd name him, "This is Tommy. I love that little boy so much. This is Christy. I want her to find spiritual healing so much. This is Luke. I wish him peace in his pain. I hope that he finds true peace in his life." And it gives great comfort to me to know that Jesus doesn't look at us just as another number, another part of the crowd. He looks at each person individually. Jesus tried to explain it to people, and he explained it this way, that God even knows the number of hairs on your heads. Each hair on your head is numbered. That's what God sees when he looks at you. Not just your hair, but he sees a person, and he knows you well. You're not a number to God. You're not a number to Jesus. We also see Christ saw more than what was just observable. Most of us are pretty good at hiding. Most of us have become good at hiding our true hurts or our true pain. People can smile. You come to church and people will smile, but sometimes they're weeping inside. Sometimes they're weeping inside because of severe pain going on. One of my favorite pictures of the New Testament is that of the prodigal son. You remember the story of the prodigal? The boy says, "Dad, I want to leave. I want to go make a life on my own. Give me my inheritance now so I can leave." And the father gave him the inheritance. The son went out. The Bible said he squandered his money on riotous living, on sinful living, and he wasted it. He had nothing, and after a while of really struggling and ended up with a job feeding pigs, a Jew feeding pigs, he came to his senses, the Bible says, and he went to his dad, and he was going to say, "Dad, I've sinned against God, I've sinned against you. If you would just take me as one of your servants, that would be wonderful, if you would." But the Bible describes it this way. The Bible describes that when the son was on his way home, while he was far away, the father went running out, fell down at his feet, and kissed him. This was the dad's reaction when he saw his son come home. The dad saw, beyond what was observable, a broken young man, dirty, probably smelly, you know, broken. And the father saw beyond that, and he saw a soul that he loved very much, and he went out and embraced him. And that's a picture, that's an image of how God wants to embrace us. God wants to receive us if we will come back to Him, and we will come in repentance. We come to Him, and He will receive us. But God looks beyond what is observable. There's a song. We sing this song here sometimes. It's called "The Heart of Worship." You know "The Heart of Worship"? The first verse goes, "When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart." You know the song? That's telling us how God sees us. He looks beyond what is observable. He looks beyond the outside. He looks on what is inside. He sees a soul. He sees a person. He sees their pain. He sees their struggles. He loves them. And we see in verse 36 that Jesus saw them as sheep having no shepherd. As he looked out across the crowds of people, he says they are like sheep without a shepherd. They're lost. They're helpless. Sheep are unable on their own really to take care of themselves. And they are easy prey for the enemy, easy prey for other animals. And Jesus says they're like sheep without a shepherd. This is what he's seeing as he's seeing the lost crowds of people. I wonder what would happen if we made it a point to ask God to help us to see people from the inside instead of the outside. Would it change the way that you see people? Would it change the way that you pray for people? Would it change the way that you respond to people? God, help me to see people from your perspective, the way you do. Help me to see the crowds like you do. And then thirdly, we see about Jesus and his ministry. He had compassion on them. In verse 36, he was moved with compassion. Literally, he was gripped with compassion. And this Greek word, it means that he suffered within. In fact, literally, in the Greek language, it's referring to having one's bowels yearn inside. So his bowels were gripped, his bowels yearned for them. Now it sounds odd and strange, I know, to us. We don't talk that way. But the equivalent to us in English is our hearts, isn't it? Our hearts were gripped. Our hearts yearned for them. This is what it's saying here in this text. That's why we say things like, I love you with all of my heart. Okay? And that's an expression that we use. I don't think anybody says, I love you with all of my bowels. But we do refer to the heart. That is the deepest part of our emotions, the deepest part of our being. And Jesus looked and saw the crowds, and his heart was gripped. His heart was moved with great compassion for them. Notice it doesn't say that when he saw the crowds, he just felt a very strong commitment towards them. He was committed, but it says that he had a great compassion for them. You see, there is a difference. I can be committed to my wife, Jennifer, for life, which is good, and I am. But if I don't have this kind of compassion towards her, then all I have is a contract that is binding. There's a difference. I can be committed to you as my church, and I can be committed as your pastor to you. But if I don't have this kind of compassion, this kind of a love that grips me, then it's just a cold and administrative relationship that we may have together. So with each of us and the mission field that you have around you, we all have a mission field that God has placed us in. Don't just be committed, but let your heart be moved with compassion as you see the people the way Jesus saw the people. Enter into their world, love them, give yourself to them. Jesus showed his compassion when he touched the lepers that no one else would touch. He was seen talking to a woman, a Samaritan woman, by the well. Something that no other Jewish man, or especially a rabbi, would be seen doing. Jesus was continually confronted by those who were sick and in need, and Jesus was moved with compassion for them. Jesus was seen eating with tax collectors, seen communicating and talking with prostitutes that no one else would notice and see, but Jesus saw them differently. He was constantly on call. It was compassion that drove him. And then fourthly, we see that he spoke to them. Look at verse 37 once again. Verse 37, he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Jesus had spent several years seeing this harvest. He had gone around from village to village, from town to town, across the countryside, and he saw the people. He loved the people. His heart was moved with compassion for the people because he saw their needs. He knew what he was talking about. He did not say this until he had taken time to see the people, to see their needs, to see their pain, and to be gripped with compassion. And the lesson that we have from Jesus is don't expect to have a passion for people until you also go to where they are too. And you see them. See them as God sees them. You love them. You meet them where they are. Don't expect God to give you a heavy burden for your neighbor or your mission field around you until you get to know their needs, until you see them through the eyes of God. In closing, I want to say there was this song I heard many years ago.
It's a wonderful song. It's simply called Looking Through His Eyes. This is a good song, but it also is a good prayer. It says, "Let me see this world, dear Lord, as though I were looking through your eyes. A world of men who don't want you, Lord, but a world for which you died. Let me kneel with you in the garden. Blur my eyes with tears of agony. For if once I could see this world the way you see, I just know I'd serve you more faithfully." Let that be our prayer this morning. Lord, I want to see people through your eyes. Would you stand with me at this time? We're going to take a few minutes. We're going to take a few minutes to respond in our heart to what the Lord has spoken to us about this morning. And I hope that each of us would come to Him and may your prayer be this: Lord, help me to see people through your eyes. Just as He told His disciples, the harvest is plentiful. Lift up your eyes and look out unto the fields. May our prayer be, Lord, let me see the fields. Let me see the people. Not just the crowds, but let me see the individuals. Give me compassion for the lost like you have. Use me, Lord, to reach people around me. My mission field that you have placed me in. And each of us have a mission field. We've been challenged this month by several speakers, but consistently we see missions begins right here. It begins at home. Missions begins with the people that God has placed around you. Your family members. Maybe you have family who is lost. And maybe they're difficult. Maybe they're stubborn. Maybe they're obstinate. Maybe you don't even really like them. But God has placed them in your life, and that is a mission field for you. And so this morning I pray that you would ask God to let you see them through His eyes. What would Jesus see as He looks at that family member, as He looks at that coworker who's difficult, who seems obnoxious? The people that live close by you, who maybe you want to try to avoid. God, let me see my mission field and move my heart with compassion for them. So this morning, before we take any pledges up, let's take a few moments to bring our hearts before the Lord and ask Him to move us with compassion. So with your head bowed, eyes closed, take some time and bring this before the Lord. Bring your prayer before the Lord. If you would like to come, come to the altar at this time. And I'll lead us together in just a moment. I'll lead us in a prayer together. But if you would like to come, please come. Dear Lord, I pray that you indeed would work in our hearts. Father, help me to see people through your eyes, not through my own. Help me to really see them, to see beyond what is outside, but to see the person, the soul that you love, the soul that you died for, the soul that you want to save. The soul, Lord, that you would have me to be able to
be a testimony, to be a witness, to share Jesus with. So, Father, work in our hearts and move us. May our hearts be gripped with compassion for people. People around us every day. Help us to see this task that is so unfinished. And may we be faithful to continue until Jesus comes. Now move in our hearts as we prepare to commit ourselves in what we will do in giving to missions this year. Thank you, Lord. Please take a seat at this time. We're going to now prepare our pledges. And as we've already been mentioning, we hope that you have been praying about this already consistently this year, or this month, I mean, and that God has put in your heart what it is that He would have you to do for missions. So what I'm going to ask you to do now is just where you are to prayerfully write down your missions commitment, and as God directs, that you would bring your missions pledge and lay it down here at the front, at the altar, if you would, and place it inside one of these baskets that are on the table here. If anyone needs a pen or a commitment card, just raise your hand where you are, and one of our ushers would help you right away. So if anyone needs a pen or a card, just slip your hand up if you would. And like I said, once you have your commitment done, please feel free to bring it up and place it in the front. If you are a guest with us, of course, we don't expect your participation with this. Don't feel obligated in any way. This is primarily the members of the church that we are talking about to make this faith promise pledge between them and the Lord. Don't put your name on this. This is not something that needs to be named. This is just a commitment between you and God and what you commit to do weekly. Now, please make sure that it is a weekly commitment, not a monthly amount or every other week or whatever kind of system you may give, but break it up into a weekly amount so that we compare the same thing together. So when you are finished, please feel free to come and present your pledge at the front. Just take a few minutes to do this. Okay, if that's everyone, let's go ahead and commit this pledge to our Lord. And if you haven't, for some reason, gotten up here on time, feel free right after church to place it in. And Lord willing, we'll reach that target that we are looking for. And let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray that indeed you would work in our hearts, that we would see people through your eyes. May we lift up our eyes and see those fields that you talked about. May we see people and our hearts be moved with compassion as yours was as you looked at them, those that are lost like sheep without a shepherd. Father, may we be gripped with compassion for them. May we see that mission field. May you, Lord, be pleased with our pledges that we are committing for the cause of missions, for missions both at home and missions abroad. And Lord, we pray for each of our missions projects that they would be faithful, and Lord, that you would bless their labor and efforts. And we thank you for the privilege of being a partner with you in this cause of the Great Commission. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And we do have a few announcements that we want you to have before we're dismissed. So thank you, Pastor Mike.
Remind you that we have the seniors Bible study that comes up at 10 o'clock with Pastor John Young. That'll be right back in the office. Would you like to mention something, Pastor John?
Yes, a little quick word. All right. Yeah, we're just starting this new class. It's for seniors, folks that are around the retirement age. We'll begin our second class in just a few minutes. And if you're in that age group, we'd sure like to invite you to come and join us, all right? It's the next hour class that I need to really speak to, but if you can come, we'd love to see you. All right? God bless.
All right, then also, our Father's Day recognition next Sunday for Father's Day, and here's what we'd like for you to do. We're going to have a time where the men will be in here, the ladies will be in the back. Pastor Ken and myself will be speaking to the men. So, men, we really want you to be here. Service, 10 o'clock, be here. Some things. First of all, being a man, that's Pastor Ken's role. And I'm going to share with you about some things as being a man not to do. So he's going to share with you the things to do, and I'm going to share with you things not to do about being a man. And then also, we're going to have you to bring up cookies. I guess this is more for the ladies. Ladies, this is what you can do for your husbands, your fathers. Bring a plate of cookies, because at 10 o'clock, we're going to be sharing those together as well. So that's next Sunday. Also, we want to continue to pray for our missionaries, Steve and Christina McIver. That's missionaries that we are supporting as well. So continue to pray for them. Their newest prayer letter is on the back, along with our other missionaries whose letters are posted in the back. Every time we get a new letter, we update that in the back on the missions wall. And then also the Overcomer Support Group, that will continue tonight, 5 o'clock, from 5 till about 7 o'clock. So if you're a part of the Overcomers, be here tonight for 5 o'clock session. I think that's all of the announcements. Recognized birthdays and anniversaries. Anyone this week sharing a birthday that's coming up this week, day Sunday through Saturday? Or maybe if you were not here last week and we missed you, anyone with a birthday this week? Any birthdays? Well, a lot of people kind of pointing, pushing. No one wants to come up. You get a chocolate bar. You get a chocolate bar right here. No one's. All right, how about wedding anniversaries? Anyone with a wedding anniversary this week? Any wedding anniversaries? No wedding anniversaries. No one's admitting to birthdays. I think there are some birthdays. No one. Well, we'll be closed out in a time of prayer. Pastor Ken's going to lead us through a time of prayer. And then we'll have Sunday school coming up right at 10 o'clock. So please stay around for Sunday school time.
No birthdays or anniversaries. Sad. That's more chocolate for us, Pastor Mike. All right, let's stand up and be dismissed and enjoy some fellowship. Be sure to say hello to Brother Robert and Ruth, and just let them know that you're praying for them and their work that they're doing, and encourage them in the Lord. Have some coffee, tea, and let's get ready for our class time at 10 o'clock. Let's pray. Thank you, my Father, for your word to us today as we see how your heart was moved with compassion for the people. And Lord, you told us that the harvest is plentiful, but there aren't enough laborers. And may we, your people, Lord, be willing to be those laborers and be faithful in our mission fields, starting right here at home with our own families, with the people around us. And Lord, from here, as we extend out into all regions and around other parts of the world that we are a part of, that you've allowed us to support, move us for missions, we pray. Thank you in Jesus' name. We say,
Amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Enjoy some fellowship.